This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you... This time you can have some, actually.
Nope, just kidding.
Haha.
And today we're talking about salmon.
Yes. Today is the perfect day for us to talk salmon because we are smack dab in the middle of wild salmon season here.
And smack dab in the middle of salmon country.
Yes, we are. Yes.
Yeah, so we're doing our stereotypical Seattle episode. We're gonna go out in the rain. We're going to catch some salmon with our bare hands.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that there's a word for catching fish with your bare hands?
Noodling.
Yes. And in Scotland, it's called guttling.
They do it a lot in Oklahoma.
And apparently it's catfish illegal in noodling. Some places and kind of dangerous.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of dangerous. I mean, I guess.
Is it because you fall in the river because you've been drinking beer and catching fish all day? Or is it because the fish bite your hand?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know. So Brandon and I once watched like a documentary about a noodling competition in Oklahoma.
Oh, this sounds great.
And it was with catfish. And yeah, they kind of lured it with their fingers and then grabbed it. So I don't know. I mean, maybe there are a lot of catfish out there swimming around with noodler fingers in their bellies.
I feel like I'm good at luring things with my fingers, so so I'd be a good noodler.
Great.
All right, maybe we should talk about salmon. So we just cooked and ate some delicious salmon that we did not noodle up. And so maybe we should start by talking about, like, when you go to the market, what kind of salmon are you likely to find and what should you buy?
Yeah. And I mean, I want to start out by saying what it is that we mean by salmon season.
Because, yeah, what it is.
Because before I lived here, I never thought of fish as a seasonal thing.
No. And that's, I feel like we have a lot of pride and snobbery about that in the Northwest.
We absolutely do. And we are here to share it with you today, dear listener.
I mean, justifiably so.
Yeah. So what I mean when I say salmon season is basically that the salmon are running right now. It means that they are heading from the salt waters where they spend their, you know, most of their adult lives, heading into the freshwater where they were hatched, and they're going there to spawn. And so on the way, we catch them.
With our bare hands.
And some of the best salmon come from some of the coldest streams because they have to have extra fat stores to make it back to their spawning ground. And so they're delicious to eat.
Yeah, they put on like a delicious coat.
Yeah. And so, I mean, am I correct that we have sort of, you know, quotas as to how many can be caught? Because we need them to go back and spawn.
Yeah, absolutely. The Alaskan salmon fishery is highly managed and considered a sustainable fishery for that reason.
Yeah.
So you hear in the Northwest, I don't know to what extent this is true in other parts of the country, but you know, there are big names in salmon that you hear, like Yukon River and Copper River, that are considered like the cold and extremely desirable rivers. I don't know to what extent the different river really makes a difference. I think it's more how fresh is it and how well blubbered out is it?
Yeah. So out here we see king salmon, which is also labeled Chinook.
Yes.
You probably see it where you are as well, probably called king salmon.
And we should specify that we are pretty much only talking about Pacific salmon today, I
yes.
think.
Yeah.
And so if you see farmed salmon in the store, it's you can recognize it usually because it's really obviously fatty with like thick layers of fat between the pink flesh and usually quite cheap. And Atlantic salmon is highly problematic.
Yeah. I mean, are we going to get into this?
I don't know.
Maybe farmed salmon is problematic.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe more to the point for our show, it's not as tasty.
It's true. It's not as tasty. So anyway, you can get king salmon. There's also sockeye. Coho is another one that we see often around here.
Uh-huh. And then there's pink and chum, which is sometimes called keta because apparently the word chum has negative connotations.
Yes.
Who knows why?
Anyway, what we are cooking with today is some wild sockeye. And I don't know. I think sockeye is sort of a good middle ground for salmon. King salmon tends to be fattier than sockeye. Coho is leaner than sockeye. Sockeye's sort of right in the middle,
I think. It's usually the most intensely colored. Mm-hmm. Sockeye is totally my favorite. The king, I mean, it's good, but it's really big and thick, which makes it trickier to cook, mm-hmm. to like get the inside cooked right without overcooking the outside.
Yep.
And it's also often absurdly expensive.
Yes, indeed.
And, you know, it should be because we don't want to, like, run out of salmon. But I find it hard to bring myself to pay, like, $26 a pound for king salmon when the sockeye salmon is just as tasty and half as much.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. So what else do we have to say about salmon?
Well, so it's salmon season. And what that means is this is the time of year to get fresh salmon from, like, spring through, I don't know, October.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the year, however, you can get frozen salmon. How do you feel about frozen salmon?
I feel okay about it. I mean, the truth is most of the fish that we eat is previously frozen. I mean, in general, across the board, most of the different types of fish we eat is previously frozen. I feel like because I have the great luxury of living in Seattle, I sort of just gorge myself on fresh salmon in the summertime. But the truth is, I don't know that I can taste that much of a difference between the fresh and frozen.
If I were
Am I a lesser person because of that?
Well, yeah, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
If I were a rich eccentric, I would want to have like a salmon river running through my estate.
A river would run through it. There was a movie made about this.
Yes, Robert Redford would always be hanging out around my place. And
Brad Pitt. Wait, was he in
was
it?
Was he in it? Maybe.
I can't remember. Anyway, go on.
So I could noodle whenever I wanted, is my point.
Uh-huh. Great.
I feel like I can tell the difference between the fresh and frozen salmon, although who knows? Maybe people are like pulling the wool over my fish all the time. But but when I cook it, I feel like the texture of the frozen is mushier and it tends to fall apart more easily. But it's really good for making salmon cakes, and
ooh,
I love salmon cakes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hang on.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So let's move on to talking about cooking salmon.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you usually cook it?
So to be honest, I am a kind of a lazy salmon cooker.
Mm-hmm.
I most often broil it.
Okay.
And sometimes if I have really great salmon, I will just leave it plain, just put salt and pepper on it, maybe a teeny bit of some sort of fat, butter, or olive oil. If the salmon is not like, you know, the world's most exceptional salmon, I will put some creme fraiche on it. Pouring a little bit of heavy cream over it is nice. A little bit of mayonnaise kind of smeared on it. Anyway, and then just slap it under the broiler. And, you know, then comes the tricky part of how do you tell it's done without poking and prodding at it?
Oh, yeah. So
this is kind of like, you know, the problem with steak, really.
Do you use a thermometer?
I don't use a thermometer. Do you?
Yeah. I use a thermopen.
Tell me what temperature.
Well,
am I
you have to poke the problem. You know, salmon, it's not evenly thick all the way across. You know, as long as we're genetically modifying fish, can we like make some that are like a perfect cube? Because that would be very convenient.
like the watermelons you can buy in Japan.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like that. Oh, yeah, we don't even have to genetically modify. We just grow each fish inside a glass cube.
Great.
I'm all about animal welfare. You got to go into the thick part of the fish. And I mean, we should talk about how well done do you like your salmon? Because I usually cook mine to like 125.
And what does it look like if I were to look at the flesh in there?
It looks a little pink in the middle.
Okay, that's exactly what I want. So 125. And you would call that like medium rare.
I think I like mine a little more toward medium.
But probably if you pull it at 125, yeah, it keeps cooking a bit and then it winds up medium.
Yes. Now, the question that I have no good answer to, well, okay, I have an answer to that I don't like the answer is it safe to eat medium rare salmon? Not especially.
Well, yeah, but we eat sushi all the time. I mean, and I know that's been frozen. Yes. So that's killed a bunch of stuff.
Well, it kills the main danger from undercooked salmon, which is this worm that like burrows into your stomach and causes vomiting and horrible pain.
Oh, great. Well,
does it really happen that often? I don't know.
Not. I don't know.
It hasn't gotten me yet.
Great. Hey, so how do you cook your salmon?
So I like to do a pan roasting method. I like to get a crispy skin because from my perspective, the skin is the best part.
Yeah.
And so I start it flesh side down in a hot pan.
What kind of fat?
Something that can take really high heat, so like vegetable oil usually.
Okay.
So I cook it for like a minute over high heat on the flesh side, flip it over to the skin side, and put it in a hot oven until it's cooked to my liking.
Perfect.
And the skin will usually get nicely crisped during that time.
Do you think that it would be possible for you to write up your method in words and we can post it on the website?
Absolutely.
Because I happen to know that I would like to be able to consult it in the future.
Yeah, I mean, it's simple. It's generally pretty easy to avoid overcooking that way. On the other hand, like, you know, it's fairly warm today and I had to put the oven on to 450 and that was no fun.
Let's talk about the cucumber salad that you served with the salmon, because I think it was a wonderful sort of very classy dish.
Yeah, I really like a piece of fish served on top of a salad. Like, I feel like...
Are we talking like a salmon Caesar here?
We'd like some chunks of broiled salmon... maybe also throw a grilled chicken breast on there.
Delicious.
And maybe some salad if you can find it. No. So this recipe that I made today, it's inspired very closely by one in the Babbo cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
You cook the fish. I think Mario Batali originally calls for cedar planking it. Mm. I've never actually done that.
I haven't either.
So you cook roast the fish and then put it on top of this salad that's like a really tart salad of sliced cucumber with shallots and mustard seeds and scallions with lots of red wine vinegar and olive oil.
It was delicious, and we'll post that recipe on the website.
Absolutely. What about other ways of cooking salmon?
So, you mentioned these salmon cakes, and I want to hear more about it.
Oh, yes. I make the salmon cakes from Cooks Illustrated. They're pretty simple, although the technique of breading them, you sort of feel like it's going to all go to hell like while you're doing it every time, even mm-hmm. though I do it all the time, mm-hmm. because you're taking this sort of chunky mixture of salmon and grated onions and mayo and lemon juice and trying to bread that in flour and then egg and then panko. And hope it doesn't all just fall into tiny bits while you're doing this. If you succeed, it is a delicious recipe.
And do you serve it with a sauce of any kind?
Just a wedge of lemon.
Okay. Of course, you can make gravlax.
Yes.
You know, you can take salmon and you can cure it with sugar and salt and, you know, any number of seasonings.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. And there's smoke. You know, I feel like smoked salmon is maybe a separate episode.
I think smoked salmon is a separate episode.
We can do that sometime.
Yeah. There was one other thing that I wanted to mention, and now I've forgotten what it was.
Well, there's also steaming and poaching. I have not experimented very much with that, although I've certainly eaten good steamed or poached salmon.
I've done some salmon poaching, and I have to say that...
I knew it. I knew you were a poacher. You're the one who's been noodling in my salmon river.
Sorry.
You are banned from my estate.
I like poached salmon. Somehow, I find it tastier when somebody else does it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, it's one of those things where, like, it's just never that tasty when I do it.
I feel that way about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Oh, I know something I wanted to ask. How do you remove the pin bones from salmon? Or do you?
So I have to say that I usually don't remove them.
Oh.
However, if Brandon and I are cooking together, he will go get a pair of tweezers, wash them very well under hot water.
Mm-hmm.
And
so he'll go get a pair of tweezers from the bathroom. I get it.
Yes.
Great. Remember, you know how you were going to have me over for dinner tomorrow? Something just came up.
Anyway, he'll wash them really well under hot water, and then he will do his magic of pulling the pin bones out with the tweezers.
I have a pair of tweezers that
Should
I maintain
I just
in the kitchen.
Should I myself from the show now?
No, I want to hear what you use nail clippers for in the kitchen.
Whoa.
Yeah, I have a pair of tweezers that I keep in the kitchen, and I will pull the bones out. Mostly, I guess, because I have a kid and I don't want her to get a bone stuck in her throat.
When I was a kid, whenever we ate fish, which was not infrequently because my dad loved to fish, not noodle, I should point out.
Okay.
He was a fisherman. But anyway, I would always take a bite of fish and mash it with my tongue against the roof of my mouth until it was fully pulverized, and then I would swallow it because I was so scared of bones.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I wish you could have the advantages of bony fish without ever having to deal with bones. Yeah, genetic engineers get on that one also.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say we should talk about the dark side of salmon.
Oh, please. What is the dark side?
Overcooked salmon.
Ugh.
And it's tragically easy to have happen. I mean, I bought a beautiful piece of Copper River salmon the other night, mm-hmm. and even though I was babysitting it under the broiler, I overcooked it.
Yeah, and I think you're being a little too kind to the American public, because I think a lot of overcooked salmon is overcooked on purpose. I do not understand this. I think it's fine to cook salmon just through. I'm not saying that you have to serve it medium rare if you don't like pink in the middle of your salmon. I think that's fine.
I mean,
fine.
Maybe if you don't like worms, you might want to overcook it a bit.
Well, but I think you can cook it straight. You can cook it just barely through mm-hmm. and still have it be moist and tender and delicious and not have it squeak when you bite it.
Yeah, that happens to me with salmon or with chicken. Have you noticed the same thing in chicken? Where you bite on it and it sounds like a cheese curd. Like there's a lot of sort of stickiness between your teeth and like kind of squeakiness.
So if we could, if I could have one wish, it would be for people to stop overcooking salmon.
That's your one wish?
If I could have one
wish for like world peace or like...
Do you want to live in a peaceful world of overcooked salmon?
No.
I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So that was our salmon episode. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. We'll post the recipe for Babo style salmon with cucumber salad on our website.
And I'm also going to make Matthew post his very simple pan searing method that I can say is quite delicious.
Okay.
Actually, that's part of the Babo recipe.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Okay.
So, yeah, it's one and the same. I was afraid you were making me do extra work, but no. You can leave us a review on iTunes. That's actually all you can do.
Line.
Oh, well, you can tell people that they can become subscribers.
You know, you can become a subscriber to our wonderful podcast. That doesn't mean that
Which
all
one
of
is
you...
our wonderful podcast?
Oh, sorry.
I don't know if we've published that one yet.
We're not saying that if you don't become a subscriber, you can't listen. We want this show to continue to be free and available to all. We are a all-inclusive podcast here. However,
except for the salmon overcookers.
However, making this show cost money because we have to do things like buy salmon.
Yes, exactly.
And so if you would like to help us continue making this show with a small monthly contribution of $5, that's $5 a month, we will reward you with a handwritten postcard.
We are going to be writing some of those postcards immediately after recording this episode.
Yes.
You also get at least 2 secret bonus episodes per year. Mm-hmm. The first one is already available. It is about chocolate milk, and it's really funny.
Mm-hmm. And how do people go about becoming subscribers?
SpilledMilkPodcast.com/donate.
Wonderful. Please do it.
Yeah, and we won't hit you over the head with it every week. Maybe just every other week.
Yeah.
So until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
No.
Oh.
The show that gives you worms.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
We should become consultants for large-scale catering companies.
We should tell catering companies how to make more work for themselves.
Yes. Yeah.